Good morning, Anchor. It is Monday, July 17th, and today I want to talk about why every company in the world should be a media company. So this is a topic that's kind of talked about a lot in different circles, but I wanted to bring some of my insights and my experiences to bear on the topic of why every company should be looking into how they can be a company that does what they do slash a media company about what they do. This is a concept that's made the rounds, and what we're finding nowadays is that the cost of media production continues to fall, right? Especially if you are not looking to create, say, the next Game of Thrones or something like that. When we're talking about media that is more on a practical side of things, that has more of a practical bent to it, a practical focus and purpose, the cost of media production has gone way down as of the last 10, 15, 20, 30 years. And so that's why we're finding that at this moment in time, the most valuable thing that you can bring to your company, the most valuable asset, the most valuable mindset that you can bring to whatever company you might be doing, is to consider it a media company as well as a company that does whatever it is that you do. So the old-fashioned media model was create a media company. The way that we would monetize a media company specifically was through saying, okay, we're going to create great media, get a lot of attention, get a lot of eyeballs, a huge audience, and then we're going to sell access to that audience. We're going to sell impressions on that audience to brands and businesses that would monetize more directly. So I create a TV show and we sell impressions in the form of advertisements in those commercials. And then that car company that bought that spot from me as the media company, they more directly monetize that through selling cars, right? And so that's been the business model up until maybe 2015 years ago. And what we're finding is that we don't need to go that route necessarily anymore. What's more valuable than buying attention, owning attention? I don't know if that made sense actually, because if you buy it, you would own it. But buying access to an audience, what's more valuable than buying a momentary access to an audience is owning that access to the audience, right? And it didn't used to be practical, because it would be like, why on earth would we, you know, put millions of dollars into creating a TV show when we can only monetize it for this much? And so it made more sense for the media companies to put all that effort in, because then they could put all their effort into monetizing through a bunch of different sponsorships, a bunch of different commercials and companies that were directly monetizing. Well, because the cost of media production has gone down so much, the business model has changed to the point where the value of becoming a media company in your space is so outsized and so valuable that it's almost stupid not to get into it. You know, this is how every business should be looking at what they do. They are a business that does their product, their service, their thing, slash, and also a media company that talks about and delivers education and content around what it is that they do. Not necessarily what they do specifically, not necessarily how to do the things that they do, but delivers content and media that their potential customer would be most likely to consume. This is where I think a lot of people get a little bit mixed up in this idea. Just because, you know, you're a plumber doesn't necessarily mean that you need to be creating media based around how to fix a flapper, a broken flapper, something like that in a toilet. What it really means is that you should be creating content for the people that are going to be most valuable to you. And a lot of times when it comes to my example of a plumber, something that's more of a local business, it's a trickier thing to work out. When it comes to more of B2B businesses, you can become the industry standard media publication newsletter of that thing. You can become whatever it is. And it's not the sort of thing that you want to put in necessarily like 40, 35, 30% of your revenue into creating media, because nowadays you don't have have to. Instead, you want to be putting a small amount of effort in at first to develop and become that industry standard media production newsletter, whatever it is, based around the topics that your potential customers are going to find the most interesting. This is how you become a company that does what you do, slash a media company that produces media based around the content that your customers are going to find most interesting. So let me give you a real life example of what I'm talking about here. My company, Cast Media, does production and promotion management for podcasters. So we deal more broadly with influencers, but because, you know, about 75% or so of our clients are podcasters, we like to say, you know, podcasting specifically, because that's just an easier, easily understandable thing right up front. So because so much of our client base is podcasters specifically, we decided to create basically what could be considered the quote unquote industry standard podcast newsletter, a newsletter relating to podcasting specifically. And we put it out weekly. It's about 4 pages long. And not only does it serve as media to make what we do interesting, we also monetize it to some extent. A couple of the pages each week are actually paid for only content, premium access content, where you have to pay a monthly fee in order to get access to them. But quite a bit of it is also free. And so in one way, our newsletter is generating a secondary stream of income, which is always helpful. You know, it's small. It's a small stream as compared with the clients. It's not like we could be a media-only company through selling premium access, but it is a small secondary stream of income monthly. But far more important for us has been the attention that podcast newsletter, that weekly newsletter, has brought to us in terms of podcasters who are looking for what we do. Nowadays, we have to do very, very little cold outreach. We have more of a system for what they call inbound leads, right? People who are coming in, they're interested in what you're doing, they already know about you. And when you are at that position where people have already heard about you, they already have an idea of who you are in the space, they're already used to your name, your company's name. When you're in that position, you're in a far better position to negotiate good deals with people and to sell them and get them across the finish line and maybe turn them into clients or whatever the case may be. And that's what we found through this process of trying to create the quote unquote industry standard podcasting newsletter, is that because we've done a good job of it, we've got a lot of people on the newsletter. You know, we can say that we have people behind NPR shows, behind Serial and S-Town, behind Gimlet shows and Verizon and NPR, you name it. I mean, Art of Charm, Lewis House. Now, all of these shows, we have the people behind them that subscribe to our newsletter. So we have a lot of social clout in that space, and a lot of reason to be able to say, yes, we can consider ourselves kind of the industry standard in a lot of ways. Because of that ability and the fact that we are bringing value weekly to these people, we're showing them, we write full articles based on what's going on in podcasting, based on what's going on in marketing specifically for podcasting. We do a full roundup of what podcasters need to know in terms of marketing news that happened in the last week, specifically to relating to podcasting. So we're one of the few people really doing that sort of a newsletter. And not only that, we're very much at the top of our game, and it shows people not only do they hear about us? Not only do they hear about our name and they get familiar with that, and some of them might reach out because of that, but B, it shows them we're an expert. It proves to them that we're keeping track of this. Like, we have pages on pages every week of marketing news that we're writing up for podcasters. That's the sort of thing that we keep track of as a company that sells podcast-related services, management, production, promotion, sponsorship, representation, that sort of thing. So that is why it can be such a multi-leveled threat when it comes to becoming a media company. Not only do you gain attention because you're giving people content for free, but you also gain respect because you're demonstrating your expertise in the area. You have to be an expert in the area, right? But you're demonstrating your expertise through creating that media, and you're proving to people why they should hire you. So that's it. just wanted to give you a little bit of a behind the scenes of this whole media production slash other type of company at work, and show you kind of how it can work and how it has been working for us. Thank you so much for listening. If you would leave a call in to give me your thoughts on this, maybe your experiences, good or bad, your thoughts, your comments, your critiques, I would love to hear them. I'll be sure to play them on the air and answer them and respond to them as well. Give this station a favorite if you'd like to hear more content like this, and I will talk to you tomorrow. Hey, one thing real quick I should have mentioned, of course, since I was talking about the newsletter, you can find out more about it at news.castmedia. That's cast with a K, K-A-S-T, media.com, news.castmedia.com. All right, I'll talk to you later. Bye.
I have a question for you. If you're finding a lot of overlap between your business and a segment that is completely unrelated, like let's say you sell plumbing supplies to plumbers, and through your research you found that a lot of your target audience is really interested in fishing, that they actually don't want to read that much about plumbing stuff, but they're big readers into fishing. You happen to like fishing, you do some videos and stuff about fishing, and you run basically your own ads in this. Do you think that's a good use of media?
Hey, Josh, thanks for the call-in. This is actually a really interesting question that you ask, because it's true. There's not an easy answer for you here. There really isn't. So on the one hand, yeah, you definitely kind of want to look for the intersectionalities, the places where there's that crossover, that Venn diagram of the circles crossing circles, where you can, you can hone in on two different things. And you can look for aspects of your demographic, of your core demographic, your potential customers, your avatar. If you have a clear picture of your avatar, you're going to be looking at external factors of that avatar. And that is going to be informing your media strategy and your content strategy. But I would be hesitant to say that you should focus in and hone in on one specific intersectionality, if that makes sense. One specific thing like that. This is why there are tools, you know, like Facebook's advertiser has really powerful tools that'll show you how much crossover people who have liked your page or people who have liked other pages have with people who have liked different pages. And sometimes you find some very surprising results from that section of Facebook. What you find is that there is definitely some crossover that you wouldn't necessarily expect. Between people who like this page also have a super high likelihood of liking that page. But I am going to, I'm just going to be super hesitant to say that you should really create content based around that completely unrelated topic. The reason being that, yes, you'll be able to monetize it, but you won't be able to monetize it quite as effectively as maybe a media company could. This is where that conversation about a media company versus a company that has its product or service but also creates media comes into play. If the media itself has nothing to do with the product or service, but just has a bunch of crossovers with different products and service, that's where it makes sense for a media company to take the lead, because they can most effectively monetize that. Because they've got crossover with, you know, like the example, fishing has crossover with plumbers, or maybe people who are likely to buy certain pickup trucks. I don't know. And so they might be able to more effectively monetize that. I'm going to say that I would be extremely hesitant to put a lot of effort into actually producing the content that is not around your specific thing. Because you might not, you could do something like this if you really felt like you had 100% real and you were extremely confident in the information that you had, and that wasn't going to be changing, and that you hadn't missed anything in the data. Very few people have access to that sort of data, and so it tends to be more hunches. And, you know, maybe it will work for you. Maybe it could.
I'm just going to be really, really hesitant here as far as how much I would recommend that you actually put a lot of effort into creating media around a topic that is not specific to what you're doing, to what the business model is, because I just think that you would need perfect data and you would need perfect information to be confident in that decision and to be confident that it was a good decision going forward. And not just at this very moment. I think to be confident that it's a good decision going forward, you need to look at the intersectionality of your what your target consumers and customers are going to appreciate, but is going to give you that added benefit of being seen as an expert in your field. That's the other thing that producing content around a completely unrelated topic doesn't do. It doesn't give you any expertise in your field. And that's one of the most powerful things about being a company that also considers itself, you know, half media production company or half, you know, 15% media production company, is that producing that media and creating that media is if it's around your content, if it's around your topic, it's making you perceived as a leader and a thought leader and an expert in that category. But if your content is around a completely unrelated topic, then it doesn't have that added bonus. So not to say that it can't be done, I'd just be super hesitant. Thank you so much for the call in.